In America, we enjoy levels of freedom that people in other nations only dream of. That freedom isn't free. We have these freedoms by the blessings of God and the sacrifices of the men and women that have served in our nation's military. From the Revolutionary War to World War I and II and other wars, to those who presently serve, thank you, because freedom isn't free.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and in Israel, God's chosen people, even though they rejected Jesus and they're not currently following God because of their rejection of Jesus. The Bible tells us that there's coming a day when the fullness of the Gentiles would come and God would call his people Israel back into his kingdom. And it is very important that we continue to realize that that Israel continues to be and to play an important part in God's plan for the world. So we do need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. But as we look at the conflict in the Middle East, we've been talking and asking this question, what is the real reason for the conflict in the Middle East? Is this a sign that we are in the end times? And as I mentioned, I've seen YouTube videos, the signs of the times, and that is a phrase that comes out of Matthew chapter 24, and they're talking about wars and rumors of wars. And one thing that's interesting, we've been reading from Matthew 24, and I think it's really important. I want to encourage you to do this. Really, I want to encourage you to do this all the time when you read the Bible. A lot of times we bring into the Bible, when we read the Bible, we interpret it based on what we have been told, what we have been taught, what we have believed, as opposed to measuring our beliefs against what the Bible says. And really, we should measure our beliefs against what the Bible says rather than trying to twist the Bible or into our way of thinking. And when you look at Matthew 24, we do see that many things that are viewed by many Christians today as happening in the future, Jesus said would happen to his disciples, and in fact within the generation of his disciples. So we're actually going to pick this up. We're going to shed some more light on it, more light on a few different topics that we haven't talked about yet. But what was happening is Jesus had gone into the temple. He departed from the temple. His disciples came to him and showed him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said, Do you see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So he's there asking, they're asking him about three different things. And by the way, Jesus' words and his prophecy about the temple did come to pass. Not one stone was left upon another. In addition to that, foundation of Jerusalem was actually plowed, and that was in fulfillment of Micah chapter 3, and we've mentioned that in the past. But here we see that the disciples are asking him really about what could be three different periods of time or three different events. And what we see here is they're asking him about when these things would come to pass, the destruction of the temple And of course, with the destruction of the temple came the end of the sacrificial system. The Jewish people, after Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, in fact, when he was crucified, the Bible tells us that the veil that separated the inner sanctuary from the Holy of Holies was actually ripped from top to bottom. God ripped it. And yet because there was no need for blood sacrifice anymore, because Jesus had become our scapegoat. He has become our Passover lamb. He actually shed his own blood and went to heaven and poured out his blood upon the altar and upon the mercy seat in heaven. There was no need for an earthly altar anymore that blood would be poured upon, which was just a type and a shadow. What was needed was what had already been fulfilled in heaven. And so but the Jewish people actually rebuilt that veil and reinstituted this blood sacrifice, and that needed to come to an end. And really, that's what I believe the apostles were talking about when you hear the end times. A lot of times we think about the end of the world, but that's not necessarily what the Bible is talking about when you hear about the end times. Just again, read what is there and apply what is there to your thinking. And change your thinking if there's a conflict. Well, so again, they're asking him, when will these things, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And again, the end of the age could mean the end of the Old Testament and Old Covenant sacrificial system and the beginning of the New Covenant. And really, you see that actually happening after the time that Jesus was crucified and the church was launched. The church was actually starting to be formed and to take over, and you start to see this new covenant way of doing things. But it really wasn't until Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70 that the Jews actually stopped sacrificing the blood of bulls and goats and sheep. And so anyway, again, they're asking him potentially about three different times. Jesus answered them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Verse 5, "For many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." So Jesus is saying, first of all, many will come and say that they are the Christ. So there will be many false Christ or false Antichrist even. And then you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So, as we mentioned, those who believe that this passage hasn't been fulfilled would at least need to say, well, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, that means that the end is not yet. But Jesus, as we'll see here later, specifically said that generation that he was speaking to, the generation of his disciples, would not pass away until all of these things came to pass. And Jesus says in verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another." And so Jesus here is telling them that they're going to suffer, that they're going to suffer persecution, and that they're going to be delivered up to tribulation, and many of them will be killed. And we mentioned last week, just in briefly, about how the apostles, many of them, in fact, the majority of them, were killed. And I'm actually going to go over their fates today. So You see, Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia. One of the things we'll see here is that not only were they martyred, but you'll see that they were martyred in different parts of the world. As we talked about last week, that the gospel would go forth into all the earth, we actually read passages from the Bible that shows that actually happened, and we talked about some of the apostles that had gone to various places of the earth. But you'll see here in their martyrdom that many of the apostles were actually martyred in different parts of the world. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John was boiled in a huge basin of oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. Now, I used to actually work at a restaurant where, it was Long John Silver's, where they had fried fish and fried chicken and fried shrimp and of course, French fries and other things. And I learned that oil actually boils at 350 degrees. So imagine this. I mean, it obviously had to be supernatural for the Apostle John to be put into boiling oil and actually lived. He was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos, where he wrote his book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as a bishop in modern Turkey. He died an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross, according to Christian tradition, because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way Jesus Christ had died. James the Just, the leader of the church in Jerusalem and brother of Jesus, was thrown down from more than 100 feet from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. They discovered that he survived the fall. His enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during Jesus' great temptation. James the Greater, a son of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade when Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was ultimately beheaded at Jerusalem. The Roman soldier who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcome by conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, was a missionary to Asia. He preached about our Lord in present-day Turkey. He was whipped to death for his preaching in Armenia. Thomas was speared and died on one of his missionary trips to establish the church in India. Jude was a brother of Jesus. Another brother of Jesus was killed with arrows after refusing to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle who replaced the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and beheaded. Barnabas, one of the group of 70 disciples, was stoned to death at Thessalonica. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil emperor Nero at Rome in AD 70. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment which allowed him to write his many epistles to the church, the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity from a large portion or form a large portion of the New Testament. When we look at Nero, it wasn't just the apostles that actually suffered this tribulation, but under Nero, Nero was a crazed man. He actually took office at the young age of 17, and he actually set Rome on fire. And then people got really upset that Rome had burned. And rather than take responsibility for what had happened, he actually blamed the Christians for this. So what actually happened was he started to actually persecute the Christians, and he actually started to actually just torture them, and he even refined upon cruelty and contrived all manner of punishment for the Christians that the most infernal imagination could design. In particular, he had some sewn up in skins of wild beasts, and then worried by dogs or bitten by dogs until they died. And others dressed in shirts made of stiff wax, fixed to axle trees, and set on fire in his gardens in order to illuminate them. This persecution was general throughout the whole Roman Empire, but it rather increased than diminished the spirit of the Christians. In the course of it, St. Paul and St. Peter were martyred. To their names may be added Erastus, chamberlain of Corinth, Aristarchus, the Macedonian, and Trophimus, an Ephesian converted by St. Paul, and fellow laborer with him, Joseph, commonly called Barsabbas, and Ananias, disciple of Damascus, each of the 70 disciples. So you see, really, this passage did come to pass in that within that generation, they actually experienced this persecution. And Jesus actually goes on in verse 11 of Matthew 24, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end must be saved. And this gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And last week we actually went over that. We read from Matthew 28 and also Mark 16, where Jesus tells his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations. And then we read in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, there were representatives from multiple nations and ethnicities in Jerusalem that heard the gospel being proclaimed through those apostles and disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues without even knowing what they were speaking. They were speaking the gospel to people in their own language. And then in Romans 10 and also Colossians chapter 1, we read how the gospel did go out to all the world. And we actually talked about some of the examples. And today, as we're reading about the various apostles that were martyred, you see that Matthew was martyred in Ethiopia. That's down on the African continent. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt. You see Luke dying in Greece. You see some of them dying in Jerusalem, but you see John actually, you know, being a missionary and working in Turkey. You see Peter dying. You see again some of them dying in Jerusalem, but you see Bartholomew being otherwise known as Nathanael being in Asia. So you see that they were going out to various parts of the world. Thomas to India, and so, you know, the gospel was going out. They were obeying Jesus. They were taking the gospel to the parts of the world, to various parts of the world, and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And then going on in verse 15 of Matthew 24, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So you think, you know, I mean, we hear a lot, and you probably have heard pastors talking about the abomination of desolation and talking about that as something that would happen in the future. And there's certainly many movies written about the end times that talk about the abomination of desolation. But later on, again, Jesus said that these things would happen to that generation. So we should actually look for a fulfillment of this passage in that generation. And one thing we see is that, first of all, the Jews continued to practice their sacrifices, which would have been really an abomination because they weren't needed anymore, because Jesus had he has shed his own blood. He became our scapegoat. He became our Passover lamb. But the Romans, when they actually came into Jerusalem, and when they actually tore down the temple, part of what they did is they actually took the eagle signet that they had, and they worshipped in the Holy of Holies with that. Jesus is telling them, when you see this happening, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Well, where's the holy place? It's in the temple, which Jesus said would be destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another. It was destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another. But before it was destroyed, the Roman army went into the Holy of Holies and desecrated it with the abomination of desolation. And Jesus says, when you see these things happening in the holy place, let him who reads, he who reads, let him understand. So in other words, whoever, when you see this, understand. And then in verse 16, he says, then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, they will be shortened. So what actually happened when the Christians saw the abomination of desolation and they knew what was happening? They heeded the words of Jesus. These words were written to people that were living in Jerusalem. And he says, when you see these things happen, you need to get out of there. Hightail it out of there. Realize that it's not safe to stay in Jerusalem. And really what happened is the Christians fled Jerusalem. But the Jews stayed there. The Jews that weren't Christians stayed there, believing that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that defended them so many times in the past, even defending them when Ahab was king and fighting on their behalf when Ahab was king, a wicked king. And they thought that God would actually give them the power to defeat the Roman army. The Roman army actually withdrew for a short period of time. The Christians fled. You may have heard about the catacombs. The Christians were actually living in the mountains. They were hiding out. But the Jews stayed in Jerusalem. The Roman army came back in. They destroyed the city. And there was a great destruction. The temple was destroyed. Not one stone was left upon another. The foundation of Jerusalem, again, in fulfillment of Micah chapter 3, verse 12, was fulfilled. And the Christians followed this word and followed the words of Jesus and the warning of Jesus and hightailed it out of there. For the first time in history, the history of the early church, you actually saw a separation between Christians and Jews. Up until that time, the Christians had been there with the Jews, but the Christians obeyed the word of Jesus, fled to the mountains, and we know that they still had great tribulation. They actually had great tribulation that they were still going under at that time. But Jesus said that those days were shortened because unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And so we see really from the text that there were things that happened, and really from studying history. And again, you can read the works of Josephus, and he talks about in documents the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, which did fulfill what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
In America, we enjoy levels of freedom that people in other nations only dream of. That freedom isn't free. We have these freedoms by the blessings of God and the sacrifices of the men and women that have served in our nation's military. From the Revolutionary War to World War I and II and other wars, to those who presently serve, thank you, because freedom isn't free.